Hey everyone, welcome to Coloring Outside the Line, COTL. It's me, your host, Dr. D, and today we are talking about when kids have two households. When kids have two households. So I want everyone to take out their brokenhearted blue, your activity workbooks, your coloring workbooks, and we're going to talk about it. We are going to talk about when kids have two households. So let's get out our disappointing and brokenhearted blue and let's color. So what happens? I have my voice going out. What happens when all of a sudden kids have two households? Okay, so let's break that down, y'all. Once the children were in one home with both parents, and now they have two different homes. They have a home with one parent, they have a home with another parent. How does that impact them? Now, for me, this is a very personal topic today, a very sensitive topic today, because my children went from one household to two. They have two households. They have a household with me and they have a household with their dad, obviously, right? And the things that it did to them, just the entire process, right? I don't think as parents, in the moment, when we are going through our own indecisiveness, our own stretching, our own just emotional and spiraling out of control, or emotional growth periods is what I like to call them. When we're going through these transitions and these transformations in relationships, I feel like as parents, a lot of it is very self-centered, right? We're focused on what we want. And don't, you know, take away from the fact that I am a 100% believer and advocate that you cannot be the best mom, the best dad, the best parent, the best guardian that you can be if you are not on solid ground. If you are not sturdy, if you are not taking care of yourself by whatever means that you deem necessary for you to be of sound mind and body, you can't do your job as a parent effectively and well. But I do believe that when we go through our tumultuous times and periods in relationships, that it can be a very selfish and self-centered time for us as parents, because, you know, your world may be falling apart. The life that you envisioned for yourself is no longer what it used to be. It's shifting, it's changing in a way that you may or may not want. You know, sometimes you'd be ready to get out the relationship. But the impact that has on our children is great. It's huge. And I've watched that. Myself and their dad have watched them navigate this journey with us from one household to two. And when I tell you, it has not been a pretty sight, especially in the beginning, to watch the level of anger, frustration, and confusion. And I think a lot of that is because they were mimicking the anger, frustration, and confusion that we had as their parents. Again, because our entire life is changing. What we have envisioned for ourselves is changing. And most times, when people split, it's not always amicable either, right? And so having to deal with us you have children that are not only navigating from an emotional, social, physical, just brain development context, they're navigating adult issues, and it's too much, right? And so I've watched our children go through these phases, go through phases of being angry, go through phases of being confused, go through phases of depression, go through phases of, you know, wanting to connect with a parent, and just being closer more than usual, right? Because the very foundation of family that they've known since birth is no longer. And they're grieving and they're mourning, just like the parents are and the relationship. So it's like, well, what do you do when you have kids that are going to two different households now? It, you guys, it's always helpful, right? It's always best when the parents can be friendly, when the parents can be amicable, when the parents can be on the same page. But it doesn't always happen, and it doesn't always happen right away. Thankfully, oh my God, I'm so thankful that me and their dad are on the same page and we are amicable and we have a friendly type of relationship as parents, and we still exhibit respect and love and care to one another in front of our children. But it wasn't always that way. And I'd be lying if I said that it was. It took us a year and a half, maybe, to get there. And there's still, my voice, y'all, there's still healing going on in this process for all parties involved, right? Not just parents, but children. So I know that one thing for me that I thought was huge when we initially realized that we were moving forward and not necessarily in the same household, right? Because we tell our children we still are a family because we very much believe in that, but we are a family that has a different dynamic. We are a family that just looks different than your traditional family with both parents being in the same household, right? But the first thing that I thought when we were going through this transition, because they are young, they are under the age of 10, was we need a therapist. First of all, mama needs a therapist, and I will advocate for anybody at any point in life. I don't care if you think everything is going great. There's nothing wrong with therapy. I think it's wonderful. I think it's one of the best tools that we have. One of the best things that you could ever do for yourself and taking care of yourself is to go to a therapist. So that was one of the first things that I did, was to get them in therapy. And, you know, so they went through their first round of therapy, if you will. And it seems like, you know, everything was getting better. And then pandemic hit, things began to change even more for them. And I realized they need to go back. So now they're in their second round, but it does help you all. It helps in a way that sometimes, you know, your child can't fully articulate to you exactly what it is that they're thinking, right? That brokenhearted blue crayon is real. They are brokenhearted that their parents are no longer together. They are brokenhearted that they have to go to two different homes. They have to feel comfortable in two different homes. They have to feel like they matter in both homes. They have to feel as if, even though one parent isn't in the house, the same household, that they are still surrounded by love, security, like everything is different. And so, you know, I thought that therapy was the best thing. Wasn't always, you know, wasn't a huge pushback from their dad about it in the beginning, a little bit, but then it does help, right? So got on board, after a while, not long, in terms of them going to therapy, but just the level of adult things that you do not realize that your children deal with, in a sense, with things that are beyond their control, right? Our children could not control whether their parents stayed in the same household or not. They couldn't. They couldn't control whether the relationship ended or not. If it was up to them, they would have had things stay the same, right? So we have to understand as parents that we are pressing upon change, right? Change is not always comfortable. That we're pressing upon change that's not even comfortable for an adult upon a child. And what does that look like? And what does that mean for them as they're going through this process of now every other weekend? You know, what is that like? And it is certainly a journey, you all. It is certainly a journey. And I am watching our children attempt to make two different physical locations home for them, right? Which to them is not a really huge deal, because they've always been told since birth that their grandparents' home is their home too, that their aunt and uncle's home is their home too. So they've always felt that connection with different homes, physical locations. So for, you know, insert, I guess, the third home in the mix that's not their primary one, that being their dad's residence, wasn't extremely far-fetched of a concept to grasp and hold on to. Our daughter just discussed this yesterday, like, we have four homes. And that's because she has, you know, mine, her primary, her dad's, her grandparents, and her aunt, uncles. And to her, you know, those are all places that I can feel safe. Those are all places that I can lay my head. Those are all places that I'm openly and honestly always welcome to come to. And I will be loved and taken care of. And therefore, it is home to me, right? But the process of making the space physically their home is a journey that we are in the process of watching right now. You know, think about it. You get a new apartment, you get a new condo, a new house, and you want to make it feel like home. You put up pictures. Family heirlooms are coming in, furniture, your style is being imprinted. And so when you're a child, it's the same way for them. They want, you know, my daughter was saying, I would like to leave some toys, you know, here so that I don't have to take things back and forth. Is that okay? You know, when she was talking to their dad. And, you know, that's important, right? Like, she's like, you know what I think about it? When you're in a relationship and you're dating and you get that toothbrush, then like, you know, it's real. Like, you know, this is your space now, when he or she is like, bro, you got your own toothbrush now. It's good. It's nothing. It you're exclusive now, right? It's the same thing for a child. You leave that toy, it's like, yep, I have now laid my imprint here. Like, this is where I am. This is me. This is home. This is safe. So it is a huge process. And I mean, not even getting into navigating, what does the word divorce mean? Why do you have to have it? You know, why do we have to go to two different homes? Why are you guys splitting up in the first place? You know, all of that comes with children be in two different spaces. And I so wish, I cannot speak for their father, but I can speak to myself. I so wish you all that I had did so many things different in the beginning when we realized that this wasn't the best thing for us and our family, for us to be in a relationship together. I so wish that I had done things differently in the beginning, because I realized that my decisions, you know, everything is hindsight is 2020, right? Like, after it's all done, you get to look back, you get to say, hey, sister girl, if I can give you any advice, just go somewhere and sit down. If I can give you any advice, when a person, you know, wants out, let them out. If I can give you any advice, if you are confused whether you want in and out yourself, or if he is confused, if he wants in and out himself, whoever, whatever, everybody just go sit down. If I can give you any advice, go get you some therapy right now. The other party, go get some therapy right now. Go get some couples therapy. Even if you decide that you want to split. Why? Because that will help you in your transition on being amicable and being friendly and being loving and being caring to the other person. And when I say loving and caring, I'm not saying you got to be all lovey-dovey like you used to be. I'm just talking about a genuine level of love and care for another human, right? I wish that I had just given myself space and time to focus on myself and not the crumbling of a relationship, right? Because I've seen what focusing on the crumbling of a relationship did when you began to transition into two homes. Because, you know, whether you go cry, look, y'all, whether you go cry in the bathroom with the door closed, with your hand over your mouth in the middle of the night, with the shower running, flushing the toilet and running no sink in the water and the fan on, creating all this noise to you know, hush out your sobs, your breakdowns, your children feel that energy and that sadness. And that same brokenhearted blue that you are coloring with is transitioning to them, and they're coloring with it as well, right? So it's a lot that goes on. It's a lot that goes on when you go from one household to two. Clothes and shoes. And I mean, it's just stuff, right? Stuff. The physical movement of stuff from one to two. The physical movement of repurchasing stuff for the second place. Physically having to leave your home that you've known, the comfort, and going someplace else new for the first time. You know, the movement of it all is enough for a child. And it can be overwhelming, the same way it can be overwhelming for an adult the first time your kids stay with the, you know, the other party for the first time. Emotionally, what that can do for you, emotionally, what that can do for their kids, you know, for your children, emotionally, what that does for the other parent. You know, all of that, to me, can be brokenhearted blue. Now, there are people that have two households that function great and great off the bat. And that's because I think that they did a lot of work in the beginning, right? A lot of healing and letting go and just conversations and, you know, disciplining happen in the beginning. You know, I will be honest, for me, I was not disciplined in sticking to any decision when I first realized we would not all be in the same household together. I was committed to the life that I had always known, but I had not committed to the fact that it was changing and there was nothing that I could do about it, right? Like, the change was happening, and instead of me embracing the fact that the change was happening, I went against it. You know, that's me. When I set my mind on something, that's it, that's all. Even if it's not going to turn out the way that I want it to, I've set my mind there. That's it, that's all. And so it was like I had committed to the fact that I didn't want things to change. Even though they needed to change, I didn't want them to change. And lots of times, you know, that's not always the right route to go. And yeah. So I don't know. Like, I didn't know too many people that had been divorced. Didn't know too many people my age that were going through. I mean, I knew people that were going through it at the same time as me. It was like, but to have that relationship with people to be able to talk about it and navigate it with children was different. I knew people that were going through divorce, but they weren't going divorced with children. That was not their thing. So they didn't have to navigate the two households, making the two households home for children and what to do going through that process. So, yeah, you guys, I mean, this right here is definitely, you know, a topic that would deserve another visit for sure, because, you know, it's so much that goes into dealing with children when they realize that they have two households. I had one child be very calm and relaxed initially, when everything occurred. Fine. I had another child that was extremely angry and expressed that anger in ways that I will be honest, I was not ready for, and expressed the anger in ways that, because I am the parent that has their primary residence, other people did not see, right? Other people did not witness this level of anger. And, you know, I think a lot of the anger was towards me for various reasons in terms of how we came to be in one household without their father. And so, you know, navigating that anger and knowing when to discipline and when not to discipline, to know when to hold, to know when to, try to talk to a child to get to the root of what it is that they're truly feeling but can't always express. I mean, let's be honest, adults don't express their emotions. And so for us to press upon a child to be able to navigate and express their emotions in a way that adults can't even do, yeah, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. And in order for a child, you guys, to really be able to practice social and emotional awareness and care, that's not something that you can just always say. That's something that has to be demonstrated. So if I'm not demonstrating, if their dad's not demonstrating social and emotional awareness and care, then, you know, that's coming off to the children. If I'm angry, they, you know, we had an angry kid. And, you know, dealing with that and then thinking that you're over the hump of that initial change, that initial movement, and then you have a pandemic arise, which adds a secondary level to what children are already dealing with, what people are already dealing with. I talk about that all the time, that life did not stop because COVID-19 came into existence. Everything that people were already dealing with is there, plus another layer on top of it, right? So you have getting used to two households, which takes time. It's not a 3 month, 6 month, 9 month, 12 month thing. It depends on the kid. It depends on, you know, their healing as well. And then you add the layer of pandemic on top of it, And what that does, because now they're, you know, we were all there in the beginning, everything was shut down, so their activities are all gone. School has changed. There's so much changes once. And so now, you know, we're dealing with the other child showing signs of really being impacted by a lot of things right now. And that's because, you know, it's a process. It's a process. The same way it's a process to move. You don't just throw everything in the car and move and then unload and throw everything in the house and you're done. You know, it doesn't work that way. So it's not going to work that way with kids in two households. It's just not. It's not going to work that way for their emotions. It's not going to work that way for their social adjustment, you know, to two different environments. It's not going to work that way for their physical adjustment to two different environments. It's just not. It is not. And I think as parents, we put too much pressure because of what we're going through on our children to adjust at the same rate, if not faster rate, than we would, because it would make things easier for us, right? It, look, I'm going through what I'm going through. It's still a grieving process of a relationship. It's still an adjustment of a relationship from one dynamic to a different dynamic. I'm dealing with this. It would be so much easier if the kids could get on board and what? Adjust. But the same way that it's not easy for you to get on board and adjust, it's not easy for the child, for the children to get on board and adjust. It is a process for all. I think the best things that we can do as parents is take the time and space to really get ourselves together so that we can be the best mom, the best dad, the best guardian, the best whoever to our children. You know, and I think that's why people have such serious stances when it comes to dating with kids. And I don't know, I can't speak on that yet. I can't, you know, maybe we can do a topic on that, you guys, and invite a guest, because that's not something that I've necessarily dove off into at this point, dating with children. But I think that's why people don't really want to introduce you to the kid unless you're serious, because they don't want the kid to get attached to you, and then you're going to be out. And I can understand that, but then I can also understand the other viewpoint of, you know, look, let them meet right off the bat in the beginning, and then we can see if there's any, you know, if the kid is compatible with the other person. And if not, nobody has to waste their time. So I can understand both parts. But like I said, maybe we can do that for another podcast for another day. But let me know, chime in, you know, those of you who have kids in two different households, what did that process look like for you? What were your trials and what were your wins? You know, I think some of our wins are definitely that no matter what, we have always, you know, demonstrated and shown our children that we are a family. Even though sometimes we didn't always see eye to eye on different things, that we are a family and that we include time for them to see us interact together. I'm not saying, like, you got to go kick it with each other and go out, you know, on family vacations and visits and things like that. Just them seeing the positive interaction between both parents and constantly reiterating, no matter what, we are still a family, I think is very important. The family just looks different, right? It's just different, but it's still a level of family there, Because I think that's a child's biggest thing is their family is broken. Their home is broken. Their parents are broken. They're broken. And they want nothing more than for all the pieces to be put back together the way they were, right? And so, yeah, I think that's a huge win just for us, is the fact that they know that we are still a family and that we are friendly and that we demonstrate that in front of them. And that's not something that's just said. That's something that they can witness, they can see, they can know to be fact, they can know to be true for themselves because they've experienced it, right? You can say all day long to a child, this is what it is, but we all know things hit real different when you experience it for yourself, when you witness it for yourself, then you tend to put more trust into what was being said because it's like, okay, I believe you. I've seen it with my own eyes, right? But also, like I said, some trials for us being the fact that, you know, and I don't even know if it's a trial, that there's phases to healing. There's phases to grieving, right? You know, whether it's anger or depression or sadness or, you know, weight gain or weight loss or, you know, a child putting so much emphasis in their education, their schoolwork, being perfect. You know, many times children will blame themselves. Maybe had I acted better, my parents would still be together. Maybe if I didn't, you know, break that toy that one day. I mean, it's as silly as that sounds, kids put a lot of pressure on themselves when they realize they're going to have two households. And I watched it with our oldest. You know, she literally was like, maybe had I just been a better kid, maybe had me and my brother been better kids, mommy and daddy, you know, we wouldn't be having to go see daddy here and, you know, just staying with mommy by herself. And they're very much aware the dynamics are different. They, you know, they might not understand this whole my mom is single and she takes care of us thing. They might, I don't like single mother, you guys. I say I'm a mom that's single, but maybe they can't conceptualize that to articulate it in that manner, but they very much know that, you know, I'm a single parent, that I'm a mom that just happens to be single. They very much know, you know, there's not necessarily a male presence in the home. And it's simple stuff like carrying in groceries, you know, just the three of us, or, you know, their dad helps when he's around, if he's picking them up and we've got groceries and stuff like that. But just dealing with different things, you know, that they would quote unquote label as being gender specific to male, right? They notice that. They notice just to them, it should be, you know, two parents in the household. And when there's only one and they see one parent taking care of the household, they notice that. And, you know, my children have said, you know, you have no help. And they're young, you guys. They've said you have no help. And they feel like, because this is what they've known since birth, right? Both parents being in the same household, they feel like, more importantly, you have no man to help you, because all we've seen is a man and a woman in the household. You know, that's been their example, that's been their precedent. So now it's like, you have no help. You don't have, you know, dad's not here. Our grandfather doesn't live here. Our godfather doesn't live here. Now, these are all things that were expressed to me. And this is all a part of when your children have two homes, right? Like, look at the dynamics of that. Look how they articulated that. My children, and I understand on the mature and the social emotional spectrum, probably score a little bit higher, but They literally set me down one day, you guys, in their room and said, "We're worried about you. It's just you. You don't have any help." And said, "Daddy's not here to help you. Our grandfather's not here to help you. Our godfather doesn't live here to help you." They broke that thing all the way down. And then they looked to the three men that they feel are very influential in their lives and named them off. I was flabbergasted, straight astounded, like taken aback, all of that. Because I couldn't believe, one, they felt that way. Not that I had complained, because I didn't. But that was their observation. And that they were able to articulate it and express it to me and say, "Hey, we're concerned. You don't have any help." So, you know, all of these things, no matter how big, no matter how small, you know, are things that our children see when they go into two households. Now, I will leave you guys with another win. The fact that we began new traditions and we are still doing new traditions, right? New traditions of, you know, this big breakfast that is made on Christmas Day now, and pulling out some old traditions that we did as a family. You know, Christmas Eve still opening up one gift. You know, just different things. And I can't say what's the best thing to do, but I think making new traditions and new memories, right, I think is very important for the transition to two households. And I think that that's important for the parent, you know, their second home, to do that as well. So, you know, two households is something else. It's something to be navigated. It's not easy. Again, the better that you can be on the same page with the other parent, obviously it can make things a little bit easier for you all as parents navigating. But the same way that we are individuals, so are our children. And so we can't call how they're going to go through things and take things and how their transition is going to be, nor can we rush the process and the journey for them just as much as you can't rush your own process and journey. So with that being said, thank you for coloring outside the lines with me with Brokenhearted Blue as we discussed the two different households. And like I said, I think that this is definitely a topic that we can come back to and visit again at another time. But I want to talk to you guys about that because I think it's one of the things that is not really talked about amongst parents. And it's something that we should discuss and we need to be honest about it. And, you know, hopefully this sparks a way for you guys to dive deep into your own process of two households. Until next time, thank you for coloring outside the lines on COTL. Make sure to check out the rest of our episodes. And this is Dr. D. Have a good one. Bye.